The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Hello, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here this morning with Dr. Herb Slavin, and as usual on Natural Doc Radio, lots of updates that can make an enormous difference in your good health. Hi, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. The one thing that's very obvious to me, and it might not be so obvious to the healthcare consumer,
and what maybe, is
and maybe,
that?
Maybe you, I don't know. I'll tell you why. It's obvious to me because I know what's available, so I know what's being used and what's not being used. Is the lack of testing to identify people at risk of getting sick instead of the testing once the person is sick to find out, okay, what's making them sick?
That's something that I've been talking to my clients about for years, that the kind of blood tests you get from your so-called annual checkup are just blood tests and scans and different things that will diagnose a disease. So it has nothing to do with wellness. If you are in the normal range, you're good. And, you know, vitamin D is a good example of that.
Well, you know, I want people to, you know, really think about this a little bit. We can start with mammograms, you know.
Absolutely.
On the surface, you know, mammogram sounds like a good idea. Let's do a yearly mammogram on a woman. And if we catch that cancer early, they have a better chance of survival.
You might say it sounds like a good idea on the surface as a man, never, ever having undergone a mammogram. It is an outrageous idea.
Well, I wonder who came up with it. Anyway, the point I'm getting at is when you start looking at all the different tests offered, you see one thing in common. It's looking for patients to make money on. So the mammogram is looking for as many women as they can find that might have cancer. Now, you don't have to have cancer, but you might have it. And they see a little speck on the mammogram. We better biopsy that with that needle. 80%, of course, are negative, but doesn't matter. But they're looking for people to make money on. Another one they do is a stress test. Now, the right indication for a stress test is to help differentiate the source of chest pain with exertion. Not all chest pain is heart-related. So you do a stress test. If you see it correlates the pain you're having and the stress tests are abnormal, then you say, aha, it's heart-related. But the other little-known secret is that if you fail the stress test, you've already met the criteria for surgery. And what's wrong with that picture? Why are we identifying or diagnosing diseases so late in the game that the only treatment left is bypass surgery or angioplasty? So that's another example. The same thing with bone densities. Now, the bone density test was designed to sell drugs, not designed to prevent people from needing drugs or prevent people from developing osteopenia or osteoporosis. And to make sure they could sell drugs, they compare the woman having the bone density test with a 25-year-old. So that almost guarantees you're going to have a less dense bone than someone normally your age would expect to have.
Good because who are the people having the bone density scans? They are typically over the age of 65. So a 65-year-old is not going to have the bone density of a 25-year-old.
Now, I'm trying to think of some of the other tests that are done that, you know, I guess you can apply the same thing to a PSA test. You know, it used to be, you know, when the PSA first came out, and by the way, the person that developed the PSA test actually admits that it's not really the best approach to prostate cancer. But when the PSA first came out, they said 0 to 4 was a normal range, 4 to 10 was the gray zone. You might have cancer, but it could be from an enlarged prostate. It could be from a inflamed prostate, prostatitis, but over 10, most likely prostate cancer. Now you can go from a PSA of 1 to 2 in a short period of time, and you've got the needles going into your prostate doing the biopsy.
Absolutely. The biopsies used at the drop of a hat.
And so here is another test where they're just looking to make money at the expense of the patient. Now, that would be all well and good. I mean, everything. I mean, the bypass surgery, the prostate treatments, the prostate cancer treatments, the breast cancer treatments would all be well and good if we were seeing a decline in the death rate from these diseases.
I'm sorry. That would not be well and good.
Well, if it was saving lives, it would be.
Okay.
But it's not saving lives.
It is not saving lives. And indeed, it's leading the healthcare consumer down the wrong path, expecting that they are going to have a beneficial outcome from these tests when no attention is paid to the underlying contributing factors for these developments.
No, that's absolutely true. But I'm just trying to say, you could make a case if doing a mammogram, discovering breast cancer, and then treating it actually saved lives. You could say, okay, maybe there's a better way, and the better way obviously is preventing the disease. But failing that, you know, saving the life of someone with the disease, but that's not happening. We don't see the death number. Okay, the very important distinction, the death rate versus the number of deaths. Well, one is a fixed number of deaths. The death rate is a calculation, and you can manipulate that number. So if we look at the actual number of deaths each year from heart disease or cancer, or specifically breast cancer, prostate cancer, you really don't see a major decline. And you would expect to see that as more and more people are being diagnosed with these diseases, not because the incidence is on the rise, but because more and more people are being screened with PSAs or mammograms or stress tests to find a problem. More and more people are being screened. Therefore, more and more people are getting treated. And if these approaches were truly effective, you would definitely see a decline in the number of people dying from these diseases, but you don't. However, you see the death rate falling. Now, how can you have it both ways? How could you see
fun with numbers,
a flat number of deaths, in other words, death rate, number of deaths not declining, but the death rate is declining? Well, if you have, I'm going to use small numbers just to make an example. If you have 10 people with a disease and one person dies, death rate is 10%. But now you've screened a lot more people. Now you found 20 people with the disease, but the number of people dying is still the same, 1.
Whoa, looks good.
Death rate
good.
Just went down to 0.5%.
Mm-hmm.
Is that my numbers correct there?
Yes.
1 out of 20 instead of 1 out of 10. So, and that's what's happening with breast cancer, with prostate cancer, even with heart disease. You diagnose more people with it, even though the same number of people are dying each year, and you get a lower rate, death rate. And what I found, and you could try this out yourself, trying to find these statistics is really difficult, and then trying to make sense of it is even more difficult, you know. But you can find these statistics online. The one area that I can't find a lot of statistics are the studies that they're using to justify the use of vaccinations.
Whoa.
That's the one area I find it very difficult to find the actual study that justified the mandating of vaccines in California, for example. You must have a vaccine, and not just one. You know, there's a whole panoply of vaccines that you have to have or go to jail, basically, is what they're saying. So, so you know, these are the kind of things I think about because, you know, I think it's really a failure on the part of the healthcare system to allow so many people to get sick.
Now, it's the healthcare industry. It isn't this humane organization with the focus of maintaining good health and maintaining highly productive, active, mentally focused people. It is a disease identifying industry with high cost approaches to address these diseases.
Well, it used to be a more altruistic business.
I think that there are plenty of people who go into medicine with that heartfelt perspective that I'm going to help people. A lot of times when you talk to people who are considering a career in healthcare, they're doing so because a family member suffered, because there was certain health trauma in their background, and they're going in to make a difference, to contribute their brains and energy and activity to making things better. And then what happens? And I think you mentioned it yesterday with regard to your conversation with your niece, brainwashing.
Well, I mean, all right, think about healthcare as practiced 100 years ago. Go back to 1915. That was before the era of antibiotics. They really didn't have a lot of medications to offer people. And interestingly enough, when I looked at, you know, I have DirecTV, so those of you who have that will know what I'm talking about.
Is that controversial, Dr. Slayman?
No, it was just bought out by AT&T.
Right.
So, I mean, it's, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, I think.
Well, what about
it limits
the scandal
competition
of AT&T?
What scandal was that?
That they shared their information with the NSA. Edward. It doesn't? Okay.
I mean, because they would have been hacked anyway, so they would share it knowingly or unknowingly. But the point I'm getting at is when you're watching a TV show or a movie, you can go into the a subcategory of cast, and you can see all the people. And, I like old movies, and I would look at some of the old actors there that were born in the late 1800s that died in their 80s.
Right.
You know, they didn't have the advantage of all the high-tech treatments and medications we have today. In fact, a lot of them really did live to a very acceptable age by today's standards.
You mentioned yesterday, 5,000 years ago, the Chinese figuring out about hormones.
But so the point I want to make is, what is required to live to old age? And we'll talk about that when we get back.
When we come back, you're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And I just want to remind everyone that Natural Doc Radio is brought to you by AMT Centers. And during the break, you'll hear more about it. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio. which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. If you're in search of the fountain of youth, if you're trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy, there are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through my counseling sessions, I work with clients and manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. I can help you maintain optimal health that will keep you looking and feeling young again. I provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. So schedule your appointment today, JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait, your clock is ticking.
Welcome back to Natural Doc Radio. And you heard about AMT centers. You heard about me. I do nutrition counseling. And every day here on Natural Doc Radio, you're going to get the kind of information you need to understand your responsibility with regard to supporting your health. Do not rely on the disease finders and those very costly disease finders. And instead, what you'll get here is the information to protect your health and wellness. Dr. Slavin, before we went to the break.
And during the break.
And oh my goodness, so much.
Just a reminder, AMT centers, takes your blood. That's what they do. They're a blood drawing center.
Doesn't sound good.
by appointment. And so call to make that appointment. It's 754-216-2332. Then there's another number. And the reason we came up with this number is so you can voice your opinions without having to talk to anybody, without even having to fiddle with a computer. Because I know a lot of the listeners really don't aren't that computer literate, or what's a good word for it? Just not into computers much.
Facile with their computer use.
So we have a phone number. Say something if you have something on your mind, and we can address it on future shows.
And anything you have on your chest that you want to get off your chest.
Yeah,
call.
And
it's so much fun.
Well, you won't be on the radio either. A lot of people don't want to call. They don't want to be on the radio, which is fine. It's a way to, you don't have to even say your name. Just tell us what's on your mind. That number is 954-338-7313. And a couple weeks ago, we had Al Foreman on, who was the founder of Toonies and the former owner. He sold it how many years ago now? Is it five?
Three.
Yeah. Okay. But he was on the show, and he mentioned, I'm not sure how it came up in conversation, that he takes 150, vitamin supplements a day. And someone called in, and I'm sure a lot of people might have been shocked to hear that. And this caller was shocked and couldn't understand it. So we're going to have Al Foreman back on the radio this Friday, and he's going to get into the specifics of why he takes 150 vitamin supplements a day. Now, I'm not a proponent one way or the other. I'm more of a proponent to take what you need.
Absolutely. Take what you need. But in addition to Al Foreman taking 150 supplements a day, which I would say is at the extreme edge of how many supplements. Yeah, what?
We'll find out. We'll see if it makes sense.
Okay. But then all you have to do is look at the person, and you have the image. You see the person who is healthy, who is fit, whose skin has vibrance, whose brain is working very, very well. But one of the things that I want to say is, Dr. Slavin, at your practice, you do chelation therapy. That's another approach that is so health supporting and actually allows your nutrients to work even better, because there are none of the blocks to the nutrient minerals from the toxic minerals.
And you mentioned chelation therapy. Another treatment we use is OndaMed, and an interesting story was relayed by the founder of the company that makes OndaMed, and she said that when her son was young, He had a heart valve problem, and he needed to take Coumadin to reduce the risk of blood clots because of a faulty heart valve. And it wouldn't work, the Coumadin. But when she gave him an Ondamed treatment, it allowed his body to made the Coumadin work. So whatever dynamic was involved, Ondamed helped. Now, what Ondamed does, it evaluates your electromagnetic frequencies. And any abnormal frequencies it detects, it can correct it. And that improved flow of energy through the body allowed the Coumadin to work. Just one example. We see it over and over again with people, depending upon, you know, everybody has their own different issues. The Ondamed can identify, because it's diagnostic, and correct energy flow deficiencies.
So an example of a fabulous test that is literally worth its weight in gold, because it gets to underlying electromagnetic function in your body that Western medicine, for the most part, just simply ignores. The other thing you do, intravenous vitamin C, according to the protocol from the Reardon Center, crucially important information that never hits the media. And the other is the ultraviolet blood treatment, which is one of my favorite things. I tell people, you don't necessarily, you were talking a little bit about vaccines before we went to the break. Don't go subject yourself to all of the potential contaminants that are in vaccines. Consider, for the flu season, supporting your immune system. What's one of the ways that I think is just fabulously good to get to kind of prime your immune system? The ultraviolet blood treatment. Excellent results. And during the next break, I'm going to make a plea with Dr. Slavin for another therapy. And when we come back from that break, maybe we'll find out if he's in favor of it or not.
All right. And before the break, the last break, we were saying, what do you have to do to live to old age? And I said, let's go back 100 years, 1915. How do we contrast that with living today? Think about it for a second. Now, I wasn't around in 1915, so, you know,
was I, for the record.
But you can think about it. I mean, this was really the beginning of different appliances being used. They had ice boxes, but I'm not sure about refrigerators yet, you know, because the ice box was really an ice box. You had to deliver the chunk of ice to put into the box, and it would keep things cold. But I don't know if they really had developed the real refrigeration. Now, why is that important? People would go every day to the store and shop for fresh food. You see, you know, before refrigeration, you'd had no option. You just had to go every day and get fresh food.
What was the health challenge 100 years ago, Dr. Slavin? And it was infectious disease, most likely infectious disease based on poor sanitation, not understanding the crucial importance of quality water and reducing the presence of bacteria and viruses. What is the health challenge today? Chronic degenerative diseases.
And why is that? That's brought down by lifestyle changes. Now, so you go back 100 years ago, if you went to a supermarket, which I don't think there were any then, or if they did, they didn't have too many things on the shelves. But what they had was
a general store, so to speak, with a barrel of beans and such.
Right, was basically fresh produce. They didn't have all the processed foods that you have today.
No.
You know, and if you didn't have refrigeration or freezing departments, you couldn't store the food. But you know what? Even refrigeration and freezing is better than canning or boxing.
True.
And using all those preservatives, which they didn't use. So you think about, we eat so much differently.
How were the foods grown?
Okay, good point, too. The foods really were grown probably a lot more naturally than they are today, because they didn't use all the pesticides. They didn't have them.
And they didn't truck them from one side of the country to the other.
Now, there was another point I was going to make, and I'm just slipped my mind. But you can see how we're eating so much differently. The point was sugar.
Ooh.
People didn't eat a lot of sugar back then. You know, it just wasn't in the diet. And sugar wasn't something you could grow in your backyard, so it wasn't, highly available. They used to say that, I don't know, how many pounds of sugar, you know, might they have used back then? You know,
very, very small number of pounds versus how much is consumed per person now.
Yeah, so I think if you were to now contrast how we eat today versus 100 years ago, lots more sugar, lots more additives in the food, preservatives in the food. A lot less food that's fresh, you know, fresh produce. You know, people don't like that stuff.
And people had gardens. Remember that?
Right. People had gardens. They used to do their own canning, which was probably a lot healthier way of preserving foods than what they have today. So that's one point. They didn't have the genetically modified foods that people are eating today unknowingly because the government doesn't see fit to tell the people. They're passing laws against notifying people of that.
And the government is caving to the demands of very powerful multinational corporations, Nestle, Monsanto, DuPont, Bayer.
And again, going back to 1950, I don't know how many people would have had a car back then, 1915. You know, it was just coming out.
Yeah.
So you did a lot more walking. You did you rode your horse and wagon or something, but you were more active. Now, I remember interviewing someone for a position, and she had come over from, I believe it was Turkey, you know, but somewhere in Europe. And she said she'd like put on 40 pounds since she moved to this country, change in diet and lack of activity, because you ride everywhere here. You don't walk.
And people in other countries tend to have a different socialization. After your evening meal, it is not uncommon to go out into a park or into the street and stroll and meet neighbors and meet people and have conversation while you're strolling. It's a very, very different lifestyle here. People are hooked to their televisions.
Of course, less air pollution as well. I was recently in Europe, and you see the use of bicycles prevalently everywhere. Good, great form of exercise. I don't think that's the main reason they use the bicycle there. It's probably because gasoline is $8 a gallon, and also the streets are narrow, so the bicycle makes more sense. Plus, in the cities, you don't have to drive far distances. It seems in this country, to get to work, you really don't live that close to where you live, work that close to where you live, so you need to use a car.
It's way easier to park a bike than a car.
For sure, but in Florida, can you see going to, could you do what you do, Janet, with a bicycle?
I range far and wide, Dr. Slavin. I'm from Palm Beach Gardens to Fort Lauderdale to Lauder Hill to Coral Springs.
Right, so you would tell somebody, I'll be there next week on my bicycle.
I just want to let everyone know that they're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and you're listening to Dr. Herb Slavin and me, Janet Cimarelli. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I want to remind everyone that Natural Doc Radio is brought to you by Advanced Medical Testing Centers, AMT Centers, where you get absolutely concierge-level service. You can make an appointment. They run on time. You have a much different experience at AMT Centers than at other blood draw centers. And Dr. Slavin, you have something to add
to that? Well, that reminded me of the point we were making at the beginning of this program. You want to do the testing that identifies people at risk of getting sick, as opposed to doing the testing once the person gets sick to determine why they're sick and then what treatment we can use. A good example of that might be the Estranex test.
Okay, excellent idea.
You know, the Estranex test is a urine test that measures the metabolites of estrogen, the 2-hydroxyestrogens or the 60-hydroxyestrogens. And if you don't have the right balance there, you're at risk for breast cancer, for example. So wouldn't it make sense? Do that test. Make sure you have the right balance so you're keeping your risks down.
Okay, and I'm going to jump in here. Simple as vitamin D. So simple. The higher your vitamin D levels, the lower your risk of breast cancer. And because of the similarity in tissue between breast and prostate tissue, same reduction in risk by supporting your vitamin D level with regard to prostate cancer. And a mainstream evaluation of your blood tests, and this is where I come in, I can make a review of your out of range or nearly out of range blood test results and tell you where you can use a supplement to move yourself into a protected range. Mainstream evaluation, let's say a vitamin D, 31. Okay, you're in the normal range. Okay, but are you protected? Are you supporting wellness? And, are you reducing risk?
And it's strange that, let's go back to 1915 again. Doctors didn't have all these tests to rely upon. They had to actually examine the patient, talk to the patient, and figure out really what's wrong with the patient, what the patient is thinking, and act upon that. Now, what did the doctor offer the patient back then? Maybe fresh air, rest and relaxation?
With some diagnosis like tuberculosis, that's what the doctors would recommend, a change in environment and go to clean air locales.
It was mostly supportive care until the body healed itself. And like you mentioned, a lot of people died of infectious diseases because of poor sanitation and poor nutrition. And we've made great strides in that area. Now, one other statistic that is always mentioned, we're living longer today than ever before. And that's true based on, here again, how you manipulate the numbers. Statistically, we're living longer, meaning on average, we're living longer because we have a lower incidence of infant mortality today than we did 100 years ago. 100 years ago, if you developed a diarrheal disease, we didn't have the IVs to give and support the person until they got better. So babies really would die very quickly. In fact, most babies at that point were probably delivered at home.
Right.
And if they got sick, you know, they didn't really survive. And that's why at that time families would go for 10 children, knowing that more than half of them probably wouldn't live past infancy because of all the diseases associated with childbirth. So infant mortality rates have gone down. So what does that mean statistically? So I'm going to use just two people. If you have one person living to be 100 and one person dying in infancy, your average life expectancy is 50 years. Hmm. Now, if you improve infant mortality and that person that normally would have died around childbirth lives to be age 50, you've increased life expectancy to 75 years of age, but in reality, nobody's living any longer. That person is still living to be 100. It's just that that person that died at childbirth is now living to be 50. So now you take the average of those two, and you live to, average is 75. So that's what's going on.
Okay, my observation of it is we may have greater longevity in years, but we certainly don't have quality. And, you know, if people take a look at the quality of life of so many of the residents of nursing homes and different facilities for people who can no longer care for themselves, the quality of life is very, very poor, but the actual number of years is impacting the statistics that you're quoting, Dr. Slater.
Well, I think what's behind that fact is the lack of exercise that people get. They're just not as active on a daily basis. You don't have to go to, you know, 100 years ago, they didn't have gyms. You know, you didn't have to get up and go to the gym and work out. Your daily living was a workout. You had to walk to work, most likely. In fact, if you ever go to Manhattan, that's
people
how people
walk
that,
to work.
That's what
yeah.
they do. They're walking and you know several blocks.
Or they're going up and down the stairs to the subway.
Yeah, I mean they're staying active. Down here in Florida, you know, you don't see anybody walking. Everybody's in a car, so you need to go to a gym or you need to figure out how to be active on a regular basis. Was there is a benefit to that. Now, yesterday we spoke about the effect of hormones with men, the good and the bad. Now, the one thing I left out, I think, if a man is taking testosterone, you have to monitor them because you can create, you know, someone, you give a man testosterone because their levels are low and they feel better. But you have to monitor them for certain possibilities. One is they might convert their testosterone to too much estrogen. So you have to monitor that, or too much DHT, dihydrotestosterone, or their hemoglobin may go up too high. So, you know, those are the things that you have to watch out for. Now, with women, hormone replacement therapy has actually been used, I think, a lot longer.
Before we move to the women, mm-hmm. I want to ask for one thing that men can do to minimize the potential of that aromatase enzyme causing conversion of testosterone to estrogen. And it's chrysin. And whenever we bring up a problem, I always like to let people know that there's a solution. They don't have to be the victim, so to speak, of this potential negative happening. So chrysin is something that is a very, very reasonable therapy. But as you say, Dr. Slavin, you have to monitor the situation.
Well, for two reasons. You want to make sure that you're getting the desired benefit that you expect. Just taking chrysin and not checking that your estrogen levels are going down, you're just fooling yourself.
So women.
So women have hormonal imbalances even before menopause. So with menopause, you have a decline in all your hormones. But before menopause, you have imbalances like too much estrogen, not enough progesterone, and we've talked about that. That's because sometimes stress will get in the way of hormone production. So when a woman's stressed out, she's not making as much progesterone.
Stress will get will create this hormone background chemistry that interferes with the hormones communicating with one another and achieving a beneficial health supporting balance.
Now, these are the type of complaints women come in with frequently. Because, I mean, they notice it. They say, hey, I don't feel as good as I used to.
I prefer to call them issues rather than complaints.
Okay. We won't debate semantics.
Okay.
But issues is okay. How about challenges?
Okay, challenges works for me, too.
All right. Increased body fat. That's a common one.
Absolutely.
Could be hormonally related. Depression and headaches. Decreased libido, that brings a lot of women in.
New drug coming out on that one.
So those, I think, would be the main issues that women, because you notice that. That's, you know, you're getting fat, you got headaches, or you feel depressed, no libido. You just don't feel yourself. Now, of course, those could be signs of a hormonal imbalance. But the real issues that you need to be aware of, too, other signs of a hormonal imbalance could be cancer, endometrial cancer, breast cancer, and aside from cancer, even heart disease. And then some of the early signs that are entirely ignored when it comes to hormonal imbalance, woman has fibrocystic breast disease, very common. What do? They give you enhanced mammograms to penetrate all those cysts instead of trying to correct the problem.
Dr. Slavin, I spoke with someone yesterday who had a family history of fibroids. She had multiple fibroids in her early 40s, had been suffering for 10 years with this. And the only suggestion from her practitioners was myomectomy, and ultimately, because that did nothing and she continued to suffer, is hysterectomy. So here's a very, very good example of heroic intervention with modern technological advances in surgery, and you still don't have the underlying cause being addressed.
See, that's funny, because that reminds me of the thinking that was used 100 years ago, because they didn't understand why things were wrong. Oh, you've got a problem, just cut it out.
Cut it out.
So now we understand why things go wrong. So I mentioned fibrocystic breast disease. That goes along with fibroids as well.
Right.
Or cysts on the ovary. That's a hormonal imbalance situation, sometimes an iodine deficiency.
How about nodules on your thyroid?
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
very common issues that aren't being addressed properly. So all those issues we just mentioned are brought on by hormonal imbalance. And when that term is used, what it means is you usually don't have enough progesterone to balance out the estrogen your body is making. So too much estrogen causes those problems. Now, when you balance it with progesterone, so what that means is premenopausal women don't need estrogen. They just need more progesterone to balance the estrogen. So if you do that, you protect against fibrocystic breast disease. You have more energy for burning fat. It acts as a natural diuretic. Sometimes women complain of, especially before their periods, they're retaining fluid, they have breast tenderness. Doctors will tell them, oh, that's normal.
Ooh.
Instead of saying, no, that's a sign of hormonal imbalance, and we should look into it, because think about it. Month after month, year after year, for 20, 30 years, of course you're going to have fibroids and other problems because it wasn't addressed.
Estrogen dominance.
So back to the balance again, progesterone acts as a natural antidepressant, balancing out the depression and headaches that might be caused by too much estrogen. It also normalizes blood sugar. What happens when you do that? You control your weight better.
And what is an issue with that excess accumulation of fat? Excess estrogen production. That fat is estrogenic in nature.
In men as well.
Very true.
Because of increased aromatase activity. Normalizing the progesterone-estrogen ratio will help with your sex drive, and it will lower the risk of endometrial and breast cancer, and also improve your circulation and reduce the risk of heart disease.
We're talking about testing, Dr. Slavin, and to my knowledge, there is no reasonable way to really evaluate risk of ovarian cancer. There isn't a good test detecting ovarian cancer, but everything you've just talked about is reducing your risk for all different types of hormonally driven cancers. That music means we need to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Hope Slavin, and Natural Doc Radio is brought to you by AMT Centers. Stay tuned, more to come. The blood test required by your doctor does not have to be an ordeal. Learn about the special treatment available for you at AMT Centers. Innovative approaches to evaluating health issues through advanced lab testing. Tests that identify imbalances and point out solutions. And personalized guidance to address out-of-range results. Call 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com, 754-216-2332.
2332 or go to amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
And welcome back. You're tuned to National Doc Radio. And as usual during the break, Dr. Slavin and I get into a little bit of a discussion. And so that brought to mind something that you want to say on the air, Dr. Slavin.
Well, we were really discussing whether or not hormone replacement therapy after menopause should be used.
Okay.
And I think your position was not necessarily.
If for energy, for sleep, for some diagnosable issue like loss of bone density that is attributable to hormone imbalance, certainly use hormone support therapy. But here's my thing. I think far too many women are looking for hormone support therapy to bring them back to a young adult hormone level. And I disagree with that because I think that there's a lot of benefit to the maturing process. And I think as Americans, unfortunately, we are chasing youth. And my opinion of that is it's so sad because you're not ever going to catch it.
All right, but let's look at it in a from a different direction. If you have a, what was the word you said? Complaint, you said an issue.
Challenge. I don't like to think of people who have, a symptom or are not feeling well as complaining about it.
All right, but let's say, you have a problem with cholesterol or,
No, the mainstream elevated. Medicine will make you think you have a problem with cholesterol.
All right, or elevated fibrinogen levels.
Okay.
Or elevated homocysteine.
Okay.
Or some insulin resistance.
All of those things, in my opinion, have an answer in nutritional support, dietary change, and nutrient support.
It does, but part of the reasons that we see these problems more frequently in people as they get older is because of a decline in hormone production. So that's one option.
And
instead of giving drugs to treat something, restore the hormones, not back to a 20-year-old level, but just back to a low level of support that controls those issues.
I'm going to question the phrase decline in hormone levels. I'm all for supporting proper ratios of different hormones, but not necessarily bringing them to an abnormally high level for that individual's particular age category.
Well, I'm not sure that that's actually what's being done. We just raise it slightly to the point where those symptoms disappear. Now, how do we know what that level is? You look at a premenopausal woman and what their hormone levels are at their lowest during their cycle. And, you know, that's their bottom number that distinguishes a man from a woman as far as hormone levels go. But here's some of the benefits of estrogen replacement. But it's got to be monitored. It's got to be done right. It's got to be done in conjunction with using progesterone to keep things in balance.
And not progestin. Critically
right.
Important.
And I don't put every woman on hormone replacement. If someone comes in and everything looks good on their lab tests and they're feeling good, I say, fine. You know, that's great. But there are some women that notice a major improvement in how they feel after receiving hormone replacement. Plus, it reduces the risk of heart disease. It'll help with preventing osteoporosis. It'll reduce the risk of Alzheimer's disease, colon cancer, joint muscle pain. It improves concentration, improved memory, more energy, better sleep, reverses vaginal atrophy. That's a big complaint for women.
I love all of those things that hormone replacement therapy is going to do. And I also have a viewpoint that some of those things may be achieved with dietary lifestyle and nutritional support.
I don't disagree. I mean, there may be more than one way to skin a cat.
Absolutely.
But I think where we definitely agree on is you don't want to treat something that might be a natural process, whether you want to attribute it to the aging process. But here's the point, too. Some people seem to age quicker than other people, and that's where the anti-aging movement came in, because in my opinion, the manifestation of aging, or what, you know, why does an older person look different than a younger person? The same person, why do they look different when they're 60 than when they were 40? It's a reflection of the decline of hormones in their body.
I'm sorry.
You don't agree.
It is a reflection of decline of hormones partially, and it's also their exposure to chemicals, their nutritional status. So in my view, there's a whole profile of things that contribute to why they look different at 40 than they do at 60. And I'm sorry, but is it so critically important that at 60 you look like you did when you were 40?
I don't know. Plastic surgeon business is booming, right?
Right, it is. And that's what I say. We're chasing youth.
Well, you know what it is, too? Back in 1915, they didn't have television. So you didn't know. And you know what? And if you think about all the old movies, those movie stars were seeing plastic surgeons. And a lot of them did look, a lot better than the average person. I'm thinking the average woman.
Okay. And now I think so many women think they have to look like movie stars, that they don't want to leave the house until they have their pound of makeup on, their hair.
Madison Avenue's done a good job.
And that's where I think people need to think for themselves. Well, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Ask yourself the question, why are you doing that? You know, when you do things, you know, these things are automatic to people. They don't even think about why you do something. That reminds me of the story I've told before about putting the ham in the oven. And I'm going to make it really short here. The little girl's watching her mother cook ham, and she always cuts the ends off before she puts it in the oven. Why do you do that? That's how my mother taught me to do it. So they went back to the great-grandmother and asked her, why'd you do it? Because it wouldn't fit in the oven.
Right.
Well, they had little ovens in. Now she's got a big oven, but they still do the same thing without thinking. And that's what a lot of people do. They do things out of habit instead of really understanding why they do things.
And also, as you mentioned, Madison Avenue, we have been sold a bill of goods, so to speak, with regard to how we should look. And keep in mind, I'm not against making a very pleasant face to the world. That's nice. But artificially, at some times.
Well, think it's not just how you look, it's how you eat, too.
Oh, sure.
I mean, they're manipulating what you should eat instead of really eating healthy. And by healthy, the less processed food you have, the better. And we've talked about eating the periphery of the grocery store. That's where you find the produce and the meat, fish, and chicken around the periphery. And in the interior aisles is all the processed foods. That's what you want to try to avoid.
And how big our grocery stores have gotten, because there's a huge number of aisles in the interior full of processed foods.
Well, just think about in the late 1940s, early 1950s, they convinced women that the modern thing to do and the best thing to do for your kids, you're a modern woman now, is to use formula instead of breast milk.
Oh, outrageous. I mean, and that's the medical community did that.
I mean, I just want you to think about that. It's never about what's best for the individual, whether it be the mother or the baby. It's what makes profits, and that's what drives all this advertising. It's about making money, but it's not about doing what's best for you, and that includes the pharmaceutical company. It's about what's making money. Just like now they're promoting a new cholesterol-lowering drug that will only cost $14,000 a year.
Wow.
And why? And now that this drug is available, statin drugs are so dangerous to take. Before, they were the best thing on earth. And now all of a sudden they're saying, well, you want to take this new drug because statins have all these problems. And that's what they do, just to sell a product.
Statins have all these problems, and they're about to come off patent protection. Dr. Slavin, do you want to give the number for an appointment at AMT Centers, our sponsors, and a little bit of information before we finish for today?
All right. The phone number is 754-216-2332. And their address is 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. They're about, I don't know, two or three blocks east of University, or maybe a mile west of the Turnpike on Commercial Boulevard.
Very easy to find. Very, very special treatment to have your
easy parking, too.
And you remember to tune in to Natural Doc Radio to hear about certain events, seminars, and so on that are going to be held at AMT Centers. And to all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to Natural Doc Radio. And we'll be back here tomorrow, 10 to 11, 1470 a.m. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed. Based on your test results, listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy.
The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.